content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with another essay from the book, 80 Things to Do When You Turn 80. And I will remind you that you don't have to be 80 to do these things. This one is entitled Growing Young, The Formula, and it's by Betty Finney, who spent her life going against the grain. In the past, men and women searched furtively for the fountain of youth, but they looked in all the wrong places and the wrong kind of fountain. The fountain that restores youth is all around us, and it's inside of us. Today, more people are drinking deeply from the water of that fountain, enjoying youthful vigor and an outlook that eludes those in previous generations. For the first time, Americans 65-plus represent 1/8 of the nation's population. Not too many years ago, anyone 65 or older was considered old, ready for the rocking chair, retired from working, retired from life itself. Because of the growing young formula, that third age group, 65-plus, are making history. They are transforming the mindset of aging to the mindset of agelessness. In the ranks of the on-the-go citizens today are people in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond, and they are showing youngsters in their 50s and 60s how to stay active. The growing young formula shows that the real fountain of youth is one we create, proving that age is really just a number. The secrets to long-lasting health and agelessness lie in these 8 steps. 1. Leave your comfort zone and be willing to try a new way. Check in with yourself on a regular basis. A lot of us greet our retirement years with, aha, at last. It's what we assumed because it's been handed down to us as a hardened concept. Stop living this automatic perception of retirement. Paint a new picture for your life. It's a challenge, but oh, so exciting. In my own life, I've gone outside my comfort zone many times. At 71, I performed in a tap dance show. At 77, I went zip lining and Tarzan swinging with my husband Charlie in Costa Rica. At 78, I wrote my book, Growing Young. Throughout my 60s, 70s, and 80s, Charlie and I have set off on our own for self-guided adventures in countries throughout Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and Iceland. 2, be the architect of your life. Live the life you want. Think outside the box. Bring your experience and wisdom to the forefront. Overcome the myth that you are physically and mentally unprepared for life's third age. Reviewing all your life experiences to date will give you a new perspective of your skills. It's like letting the genie out of the bottle. If you surprise yourself, then you'll likely surprise others. Now, with your refreshed frame of mind, you'll be ready to create your own vision of the future. 3, shape up. Oh, yes, exercise. Get off the couch and awaken your body to this new challenge. Live instead of existing. Put together a realistic plan that will fit your vision for your future activities. You may need a professional trainer or assistance from a local gym. 4, become a nutrition warrior. To have high performance every day, you need to fuel your body so it lasts those extra years you have projected. Take some appreciation time daily for this great machine. Your body is a miracle. It works 24/7, and we forget that. Think about it. It never stops. To fuel this machine, we need to develop a defense fortress. To do this, we must put the right amount of real foods, you know what they look like, an apple, a carrot, into our fortress. Forgo the philosophy that there are only 4 food groups: fast, frozen, junk, and processed. Go for healthy foods and give this miraculous body a boost. 5, get over terminal seriousness. Laughter is a must for your biological health. Not only does laughter make you feel good, but you get a free massage for every organ in your body. The big bad monster that has consumed our world is stress. It has become an epidemic. Stress can compel us to action, but it can also be brutal to our physical and emotional well-being. As they say, laughter is the best medicine. It can provide a way to get over the speed bumps of stress. Anyone can join the laughter movement. All it takes is a willingness to let go and have some fun. 6. Check out your future assets. No matter what your age, yearly tuning into your finances is necessary. The third age brings new activities and an ever-changing lifestyle. Be prepared is the motto. 7. Put together a reinforcement team. Involve those that support your new mission. Include some young blood in order to keep your ideas fresh and current. Get crystal clear in your own mind about what you want to achieve. That will help you get your message across to others. Update your challenges regularly. Be willing to adapt to new insights that are suggested. 8. Hang in there. Small changes are extremely valuable. Often we give up because we cannot accomplish the task we set for ourselves. Even incremental steps can trigger progress. They will eventually lead you to your desired goals. Change will bring choices for happiness, fulfillment, and new beginnings. And finally, seek your dream. As you reach 80 and beyond, make sure that hardened old concepts don't derail your plan. Tell your family and friends that you are growing young. Keep this idea in the forefront of your mind. And here's one final secret to the Fountain of Youth. Become a master of exploration. You'll discover exhilarating adventures. Now on to AARP the magazine. Up front go the new house guest rules. Post-vaccine stayover visits are starting, but expectations have changed. Negotiate ahead of time. Do we hug, wear masks, go to restaurants, have others over too? Bring our own towels. Drive to places together. Not everyone is on the same page, says Diane Gotsman, author of Modern Etiquette for a Better Life. Get it all out of the way so you can have a good time. Don't spark debates. We've already had a year of intense, divisive arguments on politics, race, economics, education, healthcare, and more. Make your time together personal and fun. Make laughter the goal. It's not your job to convince your host to embrace your point of view, Gotsman says. Separate. No matter how thrilled you are to reunite, give your hosts extra space. We're not used to being in the same room for a few hours, let alone the same house for several days, says Linda Lambert at AAA East Central. Plan time on your own. Take a walk, read a book, take a nap. Shop for the dinner groceries. Keep it short. For now, a two-night visit should be your maximum, even with a cherished longtime friend. Better to understay than overstay. And tried and true rules, bring a gift, help with meals, clean up after yourself, and write a thank you note. And here are a couple of suggestions for adventures. Ringling's greatest act. His Florida museum estate are must-sees. John Ringling, one of the five Ringling brothers who helped create the greatest show on earth, leveraged their circus and his business skills to become one of America's richest men in the early 20th century. He used his wealth to assemble a world-class art collection and build a 66-acre estate along the bay in Sarasota. Today, it's a must-see, full-day stop for anyone vacationing on Florida's West Coast. Attractions include the John and Mabel Ringling Museum of Art, the Circus Museum, tours of the 36,000-square-foot residence, and Bayfront Gardens, over 1,000 rose bushes. Operated by Florida State University, the growing estate has been extensively refurbished. Go to ringling.org to plan your visit and check on COVID restrictions. Now, in Las Vegas, Las Vegas goes all in. Sin City is bursting with anticipation. Las Vegas' appeal is based on optimism, and that applies to the pandemic too. The entertainment mecca is readying new attractions ahead of the crowds. A sampler. Although Allegiant Stadium, the new home for the NFL's Raiders, opened in 2020, it has yet to fill with fans. Garth Brooks is set for a sold-out show there. Or it was. This was in July. The stylish Virgin Hotels Las Vegas has opened in place of the old Hard Rock Hotel. The $4.3 billion Resorts World Las Vegas is slated to open this summer, featuring 3,500 rooms, a 24,000-square-foot food hall, and 9 pool experiences. And finally, the Vegas Loop from Elon Musk will begin as a fleet of autonomous Teslas transporting visitors through a tunnel to either end of the massive Las Vegas Convention Center. Up front, what I now know with Nora O'Donnell, the CBS Evening News anchor, reflects on a news year like no other. Tell and trust. Covering the news this past year has felt like trying to sip water from a fire hose. There's a deadline every second. But truth and trust are the most important commodities out there, and our team gets that. We also try to deliver hard news with heart, storytelling that creates an emotional connection. As my mother always says, if you capture someone's heart, you capture their mind. A story above all others. I'm from a military family and have spent the last 2 decades talking about the incalculable cost to human lives after 9/11. But the global pandemic has been unlike any other story in my career, because it brought every single one of our lives to a screeching halt. Damage control. My husband, a restaurateur, had to completely transform his business, and unfortunately, that meant letting go of a lot of servers who were making a decent living. I think the next story that's going to be told is how this pandemic has exacerbated what was already a huge wealth gap. A teachable moment. I have a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old twins. And at first, when a lot of people were not comfortable coming to work, my children were put to work in the restaurant. They were running the takeout food and rolling the napkins and doing the ketchup packets. And they learned just how hard the work is. I would go by at 8 o'clock and they would be like, "Oh, my feet hurt, Mom." And I'd say, "You've only been here for 4 hours." She laughs. Listen and learn. I once told a female boss at NBC, "I'm totally worn out. Do you really need me to do this?" And she said, "Don't ever tell anyone you're tired or you won't get another opportunity like this again." Maybe times are changing. People can show more vulnerability, but I thought it was good advice and still do. Nobody wants to hear you whine. Just do your job, and that's what I try to do. Happiness is not having an alarm clock. I mean, for 7 years, I was waking up at 4 a.m. to co-host the CBS This Morning. So now I just wake up on my own around 5:45 and read the paper in bed without having to go anywhere. That actually brings me joy. A little help. We did not have a lot of money growing up. My parents were very frugal people. So I had to build the life I wanted. I imagined it and sought it. But if you're a working woman, if you're going through a medical crisis, if you have an aging parent, you have to have a strong support system. No one does anything alone. And for a rollicking good time, I exercise. I grew up exercising. My parents were my soccer coaches. In San Antonio, it was so hot, we went swimming every day, and we played sports in high school. I like to run, golf, play tennis, take walks with my husband. It's what keeps me centered. And this article was as told to Marilyn Malloy by Nora O'Donnell. Nora is 47. She lives and works in Washington, D.C., where CBS News Evening News is produced. She's an award-winning journalist. Now, we're starting a new chapter in this magazine from the Mayo Clinic, Understanding Alzheimer's, Your Guide to Brain Health. In Chapter 2, we will look at mild cognitive impairment. Alzheimer's disease and other dementias don't usually come on quickly or out of the blue. It's not as if one month everything's fine and the next month someone is struggling with memory loss and mood swings. Instead, the onset tends to take place little by little along a spectrum, in which mild symptoms gradually become more severe. For many years, scientists focused on the severe end of the spectrum. This is largely because at the severe end, people generally need immediate and extensive care. But researchers are now paying more attention to the milder end of the spectrum when symptoms are more pronounced than those associated with typical aging, but they aren't severe enough to be called dementia. The common term for this early stage is mild cognitive impairment. Mild cognitive impairment may be an early indication of Alzheimer's disease or another form of dementia. A few noticeable changes. Mild cognitive impairment is the stage between the expected cognitive decline of normal aging and the more serious decline of dementia. Individuals with mild cognitive impairment typically have trouble with cognitive skills, thinking, reading, learning, remembering, reasoning, and paying attention. But their symptoms aren't severe enough to interfere with daily functioning. Among people with mild cognitive impairment, many aspects of their cognition remain fairly normal. But new patterns, such as increased forgetfulness, may develop and become noticeable. Often, individuals with mild cognitive impairment are still able to live on their own, handle their own finances, perform household tasks, and drive a car just as they did before these changes began. Someone with mild cognitive impairment may not see a doctor until a specific concern, such as forgetfulness, becomes more noticeable. When that individual's memory is tested, he or she doesn't do as well as expected when taking into account his or her age and education level. However, the impairment isn't severe enough to indicate dementia due to Alzheimer's disease or a related condition. It's important to remember that not everyone with mild cognitive impairment will develop dementia. While individuals with mild cognitive impairment have a higher risk of eventually experiencing dementia, some people remain at this stage. A few may even return to a normal cognitive status. In other words, having mild cognitive impairment does not mean dementia is inevitable. Each year, about 1 in 10 people with mild cognitive impairment develops dementia. Subcategories. Mild cognitive impairment is broken down into two broad categories, amnestic and non-amnestic. Each has different signs and symptoms, but both types seem to affect men more often than they do women. Amnestic. The term for this form of mild cognitive impairment comes from the word amnesia. As you may have guessed, its main symptom is memory loss. Other cognitive functions, such as attention and language use, may be affected too, but usually only slightly. People with this type of mild cognitive impairment often are able to live on their own and function relatively fully. Some individuals tend to avoid socializing for fear of embarrassment if they forget names or details of a conversation. Amnestic mild cognition impairment is further broken down into two forms. One form represents only memory loss. The other indicates problems in other cognitive areas in addition to memory loss. In addition to forgetfulness, a person may have trouble focusing or paying attention. Amnestic mild cognitive impairment is the most common of the two types. It's also the type that researchers have studied the most. Generally, amnestic mild cognitive impairment is thought to be an early stage of Alzheimer's, making it a risk factor for the disease. Non-amnestic, this type indicates cognitive problems in one or more areas other than memory. Examples include trouble with reasoning, judgment, language, or communication. An individual with non-amnestic mild cognitive impairment may also have difficulty with visual spatial skills, such as navigating a set of stairs. As with the amnestic type, one or many cognitive skills may be affected. Next time, we will look into the causes of these issues and also look at the treatable causes of cognitive impairment. Now we're going to look at another part of the healthy you. Flip your chips. What you need to know about those intriguing new arrivals in the snacks aisle. Supermarkets are increasingly offering alternative healthy chips made from beans or greens that promise to satisfy your need for crunch, while also giving us a hit of real nutrition. Some are worth trying, says Jaslyn London, head of nutrition and wellness at WW, formerly Weight Watchers, but only if they're made from whole ingredients and if one serving has less than 2 grams of saturated fat, less than 5 grams of sugar, and at least 2 grams of protein and fiber. Here are some of the options. If you like corn chips, try 12 Tides Puffed Kelp Chips. Sea salt-dusted seaweed is a sustainable, non-rich snack. Real foods from the ground up cauliflower stalks. These are loaded with cauliflower. Opt for the sea salt over the cheddar flavor if you're watching sodium. R.W. Garcia Sweet Beet Crackers. Made with beets, corn, and various seeds, these crackers mimic the texture of tortilla chips. If you like puff cheese snacks, try Petos, P-E-A-T-O-S. This blend of legumes offers 3 grams of fiber and 4 grams of protein per serving. Pipcorn cheese balls. They're made with heirloom corn, sunflower oil, and organic cheddar cheese. Hippias, featuring chickpea flour. These puffs have 4 grams of protein per serving. That's H-I-P-P-E-A-S, hippies. If you like potato chips, try Bada Bean Bada Boom. Each single serving bag has only 100 calories, but 7 grams of protein and 5 grams of fiber. Cuivos, made with egg whites, these chips pack 4 grams of fiber and 8 grams of protein into each serving. Pulp Pantry Pulp Chips. Pressed celery and kale pulp are baked into an impressive 5 grams of fiber per serving. If you like tortilla chips, try Simply 7 Lentil Chips. Lentil flour is the first ingredient in these snacks. Another one is Everybody Eat Snack Thins. Some have pumpkin, sunflower, chia, or hemp seeds. And finally, Bean Fields Black Bean with Sea Salt Bean Chips, made from beans and brown rice. The author of this, Kelsey Ogletree, writes on food for Bon Appetit and Shape. Let's look at Money Saver. Ye Old Wealth Wisdom. And the graphics for this are very old-timey looking. Lots of fun. Financial advice published long ago that remains both good and true. And this was compiled by George Manis. Let us rename saving. The great trouble with talking about saving is that people don't like to be denied. They dislike to be repressed. Is it not unfortunate that we have the word saving at all, with its killjoy implication? Would it not be better if we spoke of delayed spending rather than saving? And that was from Putnam's Investment Handbook of 1919. Diversification is a must. The old adage about putting all the eggs in one basket applies with peculiar force to investments. The tendency with those having but moderate sums, is to make up their minds in favor of a single line of securities and put everything there. Of course, a failure in that quarter is particularly disastrous. That's from The Art of Investing, 1888. Some luxuries are necessities, and there's a picture of chocolate here. The half dollar that a man saves by renouncing the custom of bringing the weekly handful of flowers or box of candy to his wife is as poor an investment as that she makes when she abstains from bringing him the savory meat which his soul loveth because it costs 2 cents more a pound than a cheaper dish for which he cares nothing. These kindly thoughts, these little evidences of tender recollection, make a better showing when they are added up than any savings bank account. This was from In City Tents of 1902. Talk money with your spouse. This shows a couple in 1937 gear riding a tandem bicycle. Many women are kept in the dark concerning their husband's business affairs, their plans and investments. Husbands should take their wives into their confidence and explain what they are doing and why. In many cases, the natural intuition of women may raise questions of sound warnings, which, if observed, may avert disaster. That was from Making the Most of Your Income, 1937. Shun hot tips. Many a small investor goes into stock buying because he has received a tip. 99 9/10 of the so-called tips are intentionally misleading. People who have good tips for anything usually have brains enough to keep them to themselves. And this advice was from How to Save Money, 1912. A quick bit of advice. I just stepped on my glasses. What it costs. New glasses can cost $50 to $700 or more. But that's only part of the problem. How do you see while you're waiting for the new pair? Get the best deal. First, place all the pieces in a sealed bag or container, advises William T. Reynolds. Then, an optometrist or other staffer at the store where you bought the glasses may be able to cobble a pair together until the new parts or new glasses arrive. Online stores such as warbyparker.com and glassesusa.com sell low-priced new glasses. Also, AARP members have access to deals provided by iMed. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.